Hey, welcome, dear listener. This is Peter. Just in case you're wondering, this is going to be Scott and my reaction, not in real time, and certainly not a response, nothing so thoughtful, to today's WWDC keynote, at least today's at the time that we're recording this. So if you haven't already, we recommend that you go directly to apple.com and find the keynote. As of right now, it's right on the homepage, so it really should be easy for you to find. You have no excuse other than maybe not wanting to, or, you know, not having the time or some such. So please go ahead and do that now.
Friends with brews.
Peter with brews.
Hi, Peter. What's happening? We need to talk about your TPS reports.
Everything's fine.
I'm not bruised.
That weird problem I had that one time where once we started recording the first time, my levels dropped. That hasn't happened since then. I'm hoping whatever was wrong, they fixed, because I've had an update to Audio Hijack since then.
So I did not make a Google Doc. I know you were wondering, but I did not.
No, I didn't either. I didn't have time.
All I did was real-time response watching the WWDC today. The keynote.
Right. I had to watch the Apple event, and then I had to work out, and then I had to go get my daughter, and then I had to come home, and my family was talking about stuff, and then I had to make a coffee, and then I had to call you, or you had to call me.
I did analogs to most of those things, minus the daughter part.
You used messages as a Google Docs. You just start spamming it with a million instant reactions.
Because I was talking, I was sharing my feelings with you in real time as I was having them.
I didn't see any of your messages, Peter.
I figured you didn't. That happens.
I want you to know how it feels.
Kojima-san to you.
Kojima-san.
I think it's funny how they introduce him as, like, you know, Mr. Kojima, as opposed to, like, you know, Kojiro Kojima or Ken Kojima or anything, you know, it's Kojima-san.
Well, I think it's Hideo, but... Okay, let's talk about our beers, because my cup is dripping now. It's already not frozen.
Fine.
First of all, are you drinking a beer, and what are you
not
drinking?
Not yet, but I will.
No, that... Okay, well, you know what...
I have in front of me, in my cold little hand, well, my hot little hand, a cold little beer. I have Jack's Abbey Copper Legend.
Wow.
This is a seasonal release. It's from last year. It'll be back soon, but this is their Oktoberfest.
Oh.
And this is one of my favorite beers. So I liked it so much that I bought a couple of extra cases last year and hoarded them.
So where I work, that would have to have an orange tag, and it would have to be ordered from the copper store, and it would have to be segregated from the non-copper stuff.
Really? Why is that?
You don't know about copper and semiconductor manufacturing, do you? Okay. Anyway.
This may surprise you, but I don't work in semiconductor manufacturing, so.
Here's what I have. I have a Von Ebert Brewing, which for some reason their logo is a boar.
Mm-hmm.
And this is their pills. German-style Pilsner, 4.9% alcohol by volume, 16 fluid ounces. The can is really good, Peter. This is a nice can. It's beautiful. This is a very summery can. Look at this.
It looks summery.
Yeah. Tasting notes. Fresh flowers. Don't really know about that. White peppercorn and lightly toasted crackers.
So you're saying you don't habitually go down and snack on the flowers outside?
Not really.
Okay.
I could.
Well, I mean, then you would know.
I read an interesting article today that someone posted on Mastodon, and it suggested that we could do the world a big favor by getting rid of our lawns and instead planting wildflowers. And I thought that was a pretty good idea.
Interesting that you mentioned that, because a lot of my backyard, which is... Oh, yes. Cheers.
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 All right. So tell me about your backyard, and then we'll
A lot of my backyard is not my backyard, and that's not just because I own a condo, so I would only own 1/8 of my backyard. Turns out, and I found this after I bought this place, most of our backyard is not our backyard unless you expand our to be the wider collective that includes the state of Massachusetts, because it's owned by the Department of Conservation and Recreation.
Ew.
And the plan is that they're going to be putting a running, walking bike path out there, which I'm one of, you know, I think out of all of my condo association,
You're the one guy that might use it.
Pretty much the one guy who's like, yeah, this sounds okay. I mean, you know, I was a little offended when I found it was running right through my backyard, only to find it's not my backyard. Mm. But that said, they are planning on turning a lot of what is lawn now into wildflowers. So
that's good.
Go, Mastodon user. You should be happy.
Go, Massachusetts.
Go, Massachusetts. Yeah. So there you go.
Go, Mastodonchusetts.
Mastachusetts.
No, I think the American way of living for those who have yards, I think it has to go passe. I think it's ridiculous. It can't be. I think it's dumb. I don't think it can be sustained anymore. I think that if anything is going to finally break the peer pressure of communities all having to have neatly manicured lawns, it has to be climate change. Because at some point, people are just going to freaking give up. When they can't water their lawn and it just dies all the time, what's the point?
Yeah, big giant lawns especially are kind of, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure some things live there, but more things could live in other habitats.
Yep. Let's talk about our giant reactions to our giant beers.
Woohoo! I'm a fan. Obviously, you know, this is a thumbs up for sure.
So what did it have tasting notes like I had? Are you supposed to taste flowers?
This does not taste like flowers. Let me see what the can says.
Now, is it supposed to taste flowers?
I don't think it's supposed to taste like flowers. That much I can tell you. You know, well, they don't say anything on the can. Let's go to the website.
They sound terrible. Jack.
Let's go to the website. Jack's.
Jack Astick or whatever his name is.
Abby Copperledge. I think it's just Jack. Just Jack's Abby Copperledge. Okay. Jack's Abby Copper Legend. Well, nope. That's the Untappd review. I don't want that.
Oh, my God. Dear ChatGPT, how do I get to the website?
Hey, ChatGPT, rate this beer for me. I'll bet you it'll be happy to write beer reviews for me for things that it's never tasted. Because, you know, it's an AI and it can't taste.
As a large language, whatever it says about itself.
As an AI language model, I'm incapable of tasting. I have no taste.
However, tons of losers who you've never met have said blah, blah, blah.
Have said things, and I will paraphrase all of those to come up with something completely new.
It's important to note that some people say that it's terrible, while others say it's the best beer that's ever been brewed.
Ultimately, the choice of how much you like a beer is up to the person drinking it, right?
Up to the individual person, yeah.
Copper Legend. It's an August through October release, and it says, Oktoberfest is the world's most legendary beer festival, and it deserves a legendary beer. Copper Legend is the perfect marriage of caramel, sweet, toasty malts, and infinite drinkability. Raise one this fest season and be the legend. So there you go.
You're raising it before the fest season. You're not supposed to crack that open until August. How did you get a hold of that, number one? And number two, where are the authorities?
I told you that I liked it so much that I got it last year and I stocked up.
Do I have a siren sound? Let's see. Random sounds. Is there a siren? There's a good punch.
Oof.
There's a car screech.
Yeah, that's gratuitous.
There's a coin. Ooh, the Mario coin.
Perfect. Mario coin, yeah.
Anyway, consider that to be a siren. You're in trouble. You're drinking the beer out of season. What happened to your camera? All of a sudden, it's like zoomed way up. It's like,
so
Scott can't see enough of Peter. Here, I heard you like more Peter in your Peter, so here's Peter. What? Literally, what happened?
Well, I went to the Jack's Abbey site, and they have a separate site called copperlegend.com where you are supposed to hoist your beer and hold it out, because that's an Oktoberfest thing.
It started
and
using your camera.
As I went there, it's like, hey, hold your camera up and show. And I was like, no. And I didn't click no. I clicked yes by accident, and it messed around with FaceTime.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, if they don't give you permission, because they don't know what people are doing when they go to that website, they can't just turn the camera on.
I am the Copper Legend.
Hey, honey, let's go to the Copper website.
No, because my hand was wet from the beer, so the trackpad was a little sticky, and I went to tap, and the mouse had not moved where I thought it had moved to. So,
I guess we're in the Oktoberfest Hall of Fame now. Okay.
There you go. Actually, you know, I'm really curious. Let's just find out. Please write me a review of Jack's Abbey Copper Legend. There we go. Let's see what ChatGPT says about this beer. Sure. I'd be glad to provide a review of Jack's Abbey Copper Legend. However, please note that since I'm an artificial intelligence, I don't actually have the capability to taste beer or any other food and drink, so I can't provide a personal opinion.
It is a good thing it told us that, because we would never have known.
But it did give it a 4 out of 5 rating. It says it's a legendary seasonal beer that certainly leaves an impression. Known as a traditional Oktoberfest lager, it fits perfectly in the chiller nights of autumn and the warm color by its warm color and inviting aroma. You know, for an AI that can't taste and has never tasted this beer, it wrote a pretty good review of it. I say we put this right on the website.
That sounds good, actually. Okay, here's me trying to use ChatGPT to get a beer review.
Why does it say pepper jam when there is no pepper jam? I swear to God, one of these days, I just...
Oh, I haven't talked about my beer. So my beer... let me review. Let me step back just a moment in time. Fresh flowers, white peppercorn, and lightly toasted crackers. There is a bit of a crackery taste to it. I have to give it that. I wouldn't have called it crackers, but I guess maybe it's more of the peppercorn that I'm tasting. Anyway, there is definitely something to this beer where peppercorn and or crackers don't sound out of line to me. But if you had punched me in the face and taken this can away from me before I had a chance to read it, I never would have said to you, ah, peppercorn and crackers. First, I would have said, why'd you punch me in the face?
So I just realized, in addition, boy, I really can't use messages anymore.
As your notepad?
Oh. No, like, I realized I got distracted today, and one of my friends asked me, you know, a question. He just happened to be, like, at the Apple store or something. And I sent some of my real-time reactions to him instead of you. And that's why you didn't talk to me back and tell me, like, if they had mentioned large language models or generative AI or anything like that. So there's a section of my reviews were missing. The reason was I pivoted over to a friend's messages thread because he had just gone to the Apple store yesterday, and he's been a huge Mac fan for decades. Like, he had a Mac. He was like the kid in junior high school whose mom, you know, got him a Mac, for instance.
Right. Well, all the rest of you had to scrounge together PCs out of copy machine parts.
Dude, I had a Tandy. I mean, anyway, so I've got all these things. And so he had just gone and experimented with the eye tracking. And here we come into WDC, and we were like, yeah, most useless feature ever, right? And I had only just found it a few weeks ago. I think I mentioned it to you or Adam also. And I was like, okay, it's kind of interesting, but how do you get out of this? Wait, no, I don't want this anymore. Turn it off. He was in the Apple store just playing with this yesterday. And now, of course, here we come into the VR headset, where, of course, they're using eye tracking for everything. Well, not everything. They're hand gestures too, of course. But I thought that was kind of interesting, though.
Here's what I hope, though. I hope that, first of all, I haven't talked to anybody who uses the eye tracking as an accessibility feature, which it is right now. But I'm hoping that maybe their work on this AR headset will also translate into better eye tracking in general. But you also have to remember something. Typical Macs don't have the best cameras in the world. There is that. It greatly depends on what the camera is that's looking at you.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that's why you can use your iPhone instead of your Mac camera if you choose.
That's why I do that. Hi, iPhone. Mm-hmm. By the way, if anything was trying to eye track you right now, it would be impossible because all it would get is reflections from your glasses. Yeah.
The glare in my glasses. Yeah. I don't pay the extra money for the anti-glare because I'm like, I don't want you looking at my eyes anyway, so I don't care if you see glare.
Well, I think it's supposed to protect your eyes, not theirs.
Oh, is that how that works?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're shooting yourself in the foot to mock other people. You can't see my eyes. I can't either. I'm blind.
I can't see my eyes. My eyes. I think I'm going to pour some more beer here.
Okay, speaking of seeing your own eyes, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's talk about some Apple products. Apparently, some things were introduced today.
Apparently, yeah, I heard a couple of things, just one or two.
Okay, so let me ask you a genuine question. Do you actually care about that 15-inch MacBook Air? Because you have an M2 MacBook Air, right? Or is yours an M1?
I have an yes. Yeah. I have one of my favorite college professors diagnosed me early on as having upgrades disease.
You're a FOMO guy.
I always want to have the latest and greatest, right? But that said, no, I'm perfectly happy with my current smallish, you know, MacBook Air. And again, especially given the VR headset now, you know, or the AR VR headset, you know, you can turn that thing into a giant 4K display. I was like, yeah, give me an 11-inch. Give me a tiny little MacBook.
That's again. The thing. Like, Vic was like, maybe I'll get one of these instead of a studio display. And I'm like, okay, well, it's not only is it double the cost, but the studio display is 5K. This thing's 4K. Now, granted, you can take it with you.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I want to see Vic haul a 5K display on the next time he hops onto an airplane.
Right, but how often do you actually go a place where you're going to strap that thing onto your head and make use of it for enough time to make up for the fact that it's double the price? No. Most of the time you're going to use the perfectly beautiful monitor that comes on your Apple laptop and you're going to be happy with that.
I'm not saying that I would buy this just to be a screen replacement, but with all the other stuff it does and a 4K display, yeah, I'd be perfectly happy with that. I mean, I'm talking to you now. I'm looking at you now on a 4K display. I have a 4K display and I'm perfectly happy with 4K display.
You have low standards, my friend.
Isn't it? I think it's a 4K display, isn't it? That's what I bought.
Yeah, you bought a 4K. You did.
Yeah. And it was a huge upgrade for me, right?
Can you do about this Mac and tell me what CPU it has? About this Mac?
Yeah, I've got the M2.
Click on the Apple. Yeah, but the M2
about
what?
This Mac, M2 2022.
Oh, so, no, but what does it say for chip? Just M2?
It says MacBook Air, new paragraph, M2, 2022. I can go into more info.
No.
Chip, Apple M2. That's what it says.
You're about this screen is completely different than mine. Mine has a picture of a laptop. Then in a header, it says MacBook Pro. And then it says 14-inch 2021. Then there's a space. And then it says chip, Apple M1 Pro. Memory, 16 gigabytes. That's not the more info thing. That's just the about this.
Okay, if I go into... So I just clicked on settings and about this Mac, and I read what was there. Now, if I go to more info, I get more.
Why? But that's what I'm trying to figure out is why is it different?
Your about sounds like my more info.
No.
Yeah. What you described here.
That's what I don't understand is we have the same operating system, right? Aren't you on Ventura?
I think so. Pretty sure I have the latest. I mean, I have an update that's due for later, you know, installation later tonight.
So on the about this thing, what did it say? Mac OS Ventura 13.4 or 13 point whatever? 13.3?
Yeah. 13.3.1A.
Hmm. Okay, anyway, I guess the thing that I'm getting at is you just have a straight M2. It's not an M2 Pro. It's not an M2. The Airs probably don't have that.
And it's certainly not an M2 Ultra.
So what does the new MacBook Air come with? Just an M2 or does it come with an M2?
And they just said an M2. I thought it was just an M2. I think it's just the guts, the same processor, though.
It's just a bigger...
Bigger form factor, more speakers, etc. So no, I don't need that. I'm not really feeling envy.
Yeah, you're right. It says it's virtually identical with the key difference being the size. Okay.
I'm not feeling that envy. I like smaller
No,
displays.
You wouldn't. If they had upgraded the display so it was the same display that I have, then you would feel envy because the MacBook Air display is not quite as nice as the MacBook Pro display.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty happy with it.
All right, then don't feel the envy.
No envy.
I thought the differentiation between the Mac Studio and the Mac Pro was very interesting. Mm. I found it extremely interesting that the new Mac Pro uses...
All the PCI slots?
The afterburners.
Afterburners.
Built-in afterburner performance.
Is that really? That's really what they're called? That's not a nickname like FireWire or Thunderbolt or anything?
No. Those used to be something you had to add in.
Hmm.
But now they're built in. The equivalent of 7 of those.
So isn't it just a burner?
A burner?
Well, you would have to add it in. That would make it an afterburner. So if it comes with a built in, isn't it just a burner? I mean,
Peter.
They punched in the whole, you know, like how did they pick the name for Sonoma for the new version? They just punched it into their hippie van and said awesome vineyards and
right. And they made it no far than 20 miles up the road or whatever.
And you think that burner is a bad joke? It seems pretty darn on point if you ask me.
Craig Federighi is pretty much a dad joke generator.
Yeah. Mac stuff. It looks cool. No, it doesn't apply to me right now. I'm not in the market. What about the stuff that we are going to leverage?
iOS 17, I thought it looked pretty good. I saw some people complaining, as normal, that, oh no, there's no huge upgrades. Listen, they directly said that this is the 15th year of the App Store. That means it's the 16th year of iPhone OS / iOS. It's a pretty mature operating system. There's not a whole lot of stuff that's going to get added every single year. And It's also the year when they were probably putting the final push to get their headset shipped. So the things that did come in iOS, I'm perfectly happy with. I mean, I think Name Drop looks pretty cool. I don't think I'll use it all that often.
I liked it. I won't use it all that often, but yes, I can see myself making use of it. I was just at a conference 2 weeks ago, and this guy was doing this, you know, he was trying to type my name, and I was like, here's my email address, it's blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And he was typing my name, and it was P-E-Y-E-R, wait, back, you know, and he kept on getting it wrong. And
yeah, it's a pain in the ass exchanging information when you're typing, when you're both standing there typing them into phones.
Now, do you remember the app called Bump?
Vaguely.
It came out, I want to say, like, in, it was the late 2000s and stuff. I guess it was, no, I thought it was 2007. It was after, it was an iOS app, though.
It wasn't, it was way, it had to be after 2007 because it had to be after AirDrop came out.
No, it wasn't after AirDrop, but it used the accelerometer. If you had Bump installed and I had Bump installed, we would bump.
Yeah, but what technology did it use to share them with each other?
Accelerometer, and you had to have the app installed. So if the two of you were in the same location and you two both bumped at the same time, it would share your contact info. Bump is a discontinued iOS and Android mobile app that enables smartphone users to transfer contact information. In 2011, it was number 8 on Apple's list of all-time most popular free iPhone apps. By February 2013, it had been downloaded 125 million times.
Peter, check this out. Name Drop even works when you bring an iPhone near an Apple Watch.
That's cool.
Which is cool.
That is cool.
One of the other things I liked about changes to AirDrop itself were that you can start sharing a bunch of stuff via AirDrop and then walk away, and you'll still get them.
Yes, over the internet. I liked that as well.
Yeah, yep. I do too.
I mentioned this to you too in a text a few days ago. I had not realized that you can use NFC on AirTags.
What do you mean?
If you tap an AirTag with your phone,
yeah,
it will give you information about it. And it'll say, like, this is an AirTag, and, you know, are you being followed? Here's, you know, here's your safety stuff. So
right.
I expect that my father will never do that when I tell him and he forgets that I put an AirTag in his car so I can track his car for him and know if he's, like, visiting my mom on days when he forgets where he put his phone.
I was going to say, does he lose his car a lot and call you up, Peter? I don't know where my car is.
No, he doesn't. But every now and then he like forgets to charge his phone or he leaves it at home or something like that. So this way I'll be able to, you know, I'll call.
This way you'll know where he is.
Don't get an answer, but I can see that the car is moving or, you know, it was in Vermont today and then it was in New Hampshire. And like, okay, well, the car is moving around and dad hasn't called. So either he, you know, it got stolen or he's just driving around without his phone. Yeah.
I do like the real-time voicemail transcriptions because that way... I'm hoping it also works with the don't answer numbers you don't know thing so that it goes straight to voicemail. And then if they're leaving their voicemail and I see the transcription live, I can answer it if I need to.
Yeah, I would think that it would.
I would think so too, but I don't know. But I have that feature turned on. I literally, my phone doesn't ring for callers I don't know because I get so many spam calls.
Yeah. Oh, I have silence unknown callers enabled too, for sure.
Yeah, but every now and then I miss something that I need.
Right. Oh, I'm looking at gathering insurance quotes right now.
Yeah.
And I'm waiting for a call and I know it's going to go straight to voicemail and I'll just, you know, whatever. I'll call them back.
So messages in FaceTime, you said that puts Google Voice out of a job, but I don't think so because here's the reason why. Unless you can hand out fake phone numbers with it because that's the reason I use Google Voice is so that I can give a phone number that's not my phone number to people.
Right. No, I was specifically referring to the call filtering or call screening option where it lets you, you know, basically you can start screening your call and you're like, hey, Scott, it's Peter. I was just wondering, are we recording today? And then you can just answer the phone in real time like, oh, hey, Peter. Yeah, sorry. I was waiting to make sure you weren't a spammer or something like that.
And I like the audio message transcriptions in Apple Messages because you send me those a lot of times when there's no bloody way I can stop and listen to that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say part of that's Apple's fault because they make it so inconvenient. Number one, I work in a place where sometimes it's hard to hear when I'm on the test floor because there's a lot of air flowing through and there's a lot of loud equipment, semiconductor test equipment, lots of power, lots of air, lots of noise. But what Apple does is it makes it inconvenient anywhere because you can't just press play and then lock the screen and continue listening through your AirPods because it stops. You have to have the phone on the screen unlocked, and that means you can't jam it in your pocket because who knows what'll happen while it's in your pocket if it's unlocked. So you literally just have to stand there and listen to the thing and not do anything else. And it just is such a major pain in the ass, and it's Apple's fault. So this is a nice feature that I really like because this will let you much more conveniently use your voice to leave a message while you're walking along or doing whatever.
Yep. Well, as you have observed on numerous occasions, you know, it's easier for the sender to send a voice memo.
It's easier for the sender.
It's not so easy for the recipient sometimes, you know, many times for the recipient. But even then, Apple doesn't make it easy just for regular recipients because you start playing back and then if you put the thing in your pocket, it stops playing.
You can't. You have to. It's a stop everything you're doing thing.
Yep. Yeah. So it is not as easy. It's not good. It's not good.
Right. It's even worse than a phone call, which I hate because I don't even like phone calls, but it's even worse than a phone call because at least with the phone call, I can click the screen and shove it back in my pocket and keep on walking or doing whatever I wanted to do with my hands. I've asked so many people, do you ever use the audio messages in messages? And they're like, I hate the damn things. Get them away from me because they are a stop. This makes it nice because those voice messages are super nice when you're the sender and they should be made to be usable by everyone. And I like that. So feel free to start sending them. We'll see how it works.
Well, once you get the beta installed anyway, right?
I probably won't.
On your carry phone?
That's not the issue for me. It's just like, I get tired of being on the beta train.
I missed the announcement. I'm assuming it's coming out in September.
I don't know. I didn't see that.
Yeah, I mean, I think some new stuff. Okay, home screen modification is great. Turning it into an alarm clock mode, you know, great. That's a feature that's only, you know, 15 years overdue. So I'll take that.
Right. And I don't think I'll ever use it anyway because I just don't use my iPhone that way. I don't have any charging stands that I look at my iPhone on. I just don't. I just don't do that.
I do, but I do have a Qi charger and I will set my iPhone up on that at night.
Okay.
So I will use it at nighttime. I don't generally, during the day, I usually plug in.
Right.
You know, and it would support sideways charging. So I could do that. However, I prefer things to be pitch black when I'm sleeping. I want no light whatsoever so that nothing, you know, no light is going to disturb me and wake me up early.
I literally almost said you should sleep with my wife. She's the same way. Let me walk that back just a tiny bit and clarify.
Wow. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. Okay. So it's interesting how like you were so gung-ho for me to come back and visit again. And she was too.
Peter, I have a small favor to ask of you. Huh.
Interesting. Oh, brother.
My wife's getting bored. No, literally. No, she's the same way, though. She is exactly the same way. She has to have it pitch black. I mean, and no noise. If two particles of dust collide way off in space somewhere outside the solar system, she hears it.
Mm.
And she'll see whatever minute, tiny, minuscule bit of light that it produces.
Gotcha. Okay.
She's very much along those lines.
So iOS, okay, fine. iPadOS stage manager updates. Don't know. Don't use it. Don't use it.
Don't care. Don't give a shit.
I have an iPad mini, so I can't use it. And I haven't used it on the, how do you even turn it on the Mac? I don't even remember.
There's a thing in settings somewhere. I don't know.
I haven't used that.
I did give it a shot on the Mac and I immediately decided this is so limiting compared to all the other window management tools available on the Mac. I don't want to do it.
I didn't pay any attention to it, so I have no idea what's new there.
Yeah, don't know, don't care. The iPad, I don't really care about. The only thing I am curious about is why does the iPad get multiple timers now, but they didn't say anything about that on the iPhone. They also talked about working with PDFs on the iPad, making them more editable. Like you can do more with PDFs on the iPad, which is nice because maybe I can quit paying for PDF Expert.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they also said that will work on the Mac, but I never really saw if that's going to work on the iPhone or not. I would hope so.
So question, did they mention in the notes, so like their PDF, you know, better note integration with PDF, better PDF integration with notes. Did they announce searching? Does search, does it do OCR like Evernote does?
They did not say.
I didn't catch that.
There's form fill features, right? Editing,
easier annotation stuff like that, which, you know, that seems natural.
Right, completely edit them.
Given the Apple Pencil and everything. Yeah, so that sounds kind of cool. I can use that.
Two things that would be nice that would allow me to get rid of PDF Expert is being able to search in PDFs and also being able to scan straight to PDF format.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Directly from within Notes or whatever.
Yep, I can see that being useful. Okay, so iOS sounds kind of cool. iPadOS, okay, a couple things. The Health app, yeah, there are definitely times...
Oh, that is true. Health going to the iPad is a good one, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, and why? I mean, that doesn't seem all that big.
One nice thing about it is that I have shortcuts that I can run that use health data, like mostly to calculate, because I'm very specific when I want to know how many calories I have left for the day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to count all of my physical activity. I only want to count my exercise, my workouts.
Right. Right.
And so I have a shortcut that says, it looks at FoodNom or whatever it's called, and it says...
FoodNoms!
Yeah, it says, how many calories have you eaten today? And then it says, how many calories have you burned in workouts today? And then it shows me what my remaining calories is. That is something I can only run on my phone. And it will be very nice when I can also, if I'm just reading on my iPad or something and I'm curious, I can also run it there, for example.
Got it.
Things like that. That never made sense not to have it on the iPad.
Yeah, I think it's going to be cool. But, you know, that's a no-brainer. Multiple timers. I have them on my freaking watch, right? You know, so, and I thought, oh, that was another interesting thing. Something else, though. The Apple TV screensavers coming to macOS. That sounds kind of nice.
Yeah, that's nice.
I could use those, you know? So I think it's kind of interesting.
Okay, well, let's talk about macOS then.
Yeah, well, we sort of did. Wait, no, we talked about the Macs. We didn't talk about macOS. And yeah, dear listener, this is all over the place, but that's always the case because we're drinking beer.
We're drinking beer and we assume that...
We assume you are too.
We assume that you are too, or that you have in the past and you know what it's like. No, we assume that you've watched the keynote. We assume that you know kind of what we're talking about and that we're just giving our opinions on those things.
Did we tell them that ahead of time? Like,
no.
Hey, go listen to the keynote or watch the keynote before you listen to this episode.
Okay, Peter, here, let me make a gong. And then you say it in an official way, as though this was the very beginning of the podcast. And I will take that and I will put it at the beginning. So, ready?
Great. Hey, welcome, dear listener. This is Peter. Just in case you're wondering, this is going to be Scott and my reaction, not in real time, and certainly not a response, nothing so thoughtful, to today's WWDC keynote, at least today's at the time that we're recording this. So if you haven't already, we recommend that you go directly to apple.com and find the keynote. As of right now, it's right on the homepage, so it really should be easy for you to find. You have no excuse other than maybe not wanting to or, you know, not having the time or some such. So please go ahead and do that now.
And dear listener, don't worry. I was totally only kidding about Peter sleeping with my wife.
Oh, boy.
Okay, I'll move that to the beginning. So thank you.
Great.
Not the joke part. Okay. The one thing I did like is that they finally are at least trying to address the horrible widget situation in macOS. They're getting them out of that horrible long thing where notifications pop up and then your widgets move down and then you have these endless. One thing they didn't talk about, though, was are they making the notification thing better on macOS? Because on macOS, like at least on the iOS devices, like the iPad and the... Well, is that even true anymore? I was going to say, usually the notifications on one will disappear if you respond to them on the other. But I'm not 100% sure the notifications always disappear on my iPad if I respond to them on my phone. But I know one thing's for sure. They damn well don't disappear on the Mac when you respond
on the
to
Mac.
Them.
Yeah. Right, right. Yeah. No, I think they do. I'm pretty... Well, I know at least like badges and things do. I don't remember if the notifications... Now I need to...
Badges do, yeah.
To take a look.
But I'm not sure about notifications. But anyway, I would love for them to deal with the notification thing. But just making the widgets better is pretty good. So we'll have to see how that shakes out on macOS. Will it make widgets more useful? Maybe. Anyway, I'm glad that they're at least addressing it and thinking about it. I also like the fact that if your iPhone is nearby, you can use widgets that are really only available on your iPhone. You can also use those on your Mac. As long as your iPhone's nearby, you can use widgets that really only appear on your iPhone on your Mac.
That
which is
was
pretty cool.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I agree with you on that one.
Because what if you? Because who's going to put Water Llama on their friggin' Mac?
That's such a great name. And as you mentioned,
it is a great name.
It should be Water Camel. But yeah, sure. Llama. Why not? Water Llama. Yeah, Water Llama.
Llama's water, whatever.
Anyway, yeah, no. But you had mentioned some time ago, you mentioned a Lucid Air, the world, like the world's most expensive electric vehicles and stuff.
Did I? I mentioned it?
And when he was, you mentioned, you said, now, Peter, you can get a Lucid Air or something.
Oh, right. I was giving you
and coincidentally I
Tesla options. Yeah,
yeah, I had only just heard of it in the most recent the annual Consumer Reports vehicles issue. I had only just heard of that then. I was like, oh, Scott heard about Lucid. I live in a cave, obviously, so that's why I haven't heard it. Craig Federighi's demonstration, when he was demonstrating the vehicle widget, it was for a Lucid Air.
Yeah, I saw. But Peter, let me ask you two things. Number one, do you live in a cave because you're Batman? And number two, is your Batmobile electric? So I guess I have three questions. And number three, do you really think that's Craig's? Do you really think that's what he really drives? Because, like, is that guitar really his?
Why wouldn't he?
Is that hair really his?
Why wouldn't he?
You know, lots of questions.
I think it's his real hair. I think that's his real hair. That was definitely a fake guitar.
Yeah, but I wonder if he was playing that guitar. Craig Federighi, I think, used to be in a rock band. I'm not 100% sure on that.
I mean, does he at least play with a software called Rock Band? We could verify this.
Did Craig Federighi ever...
Are you asking ChatGPT?
No, I'm asking Google. Craig Federighi. Accomplishments, history. Sometimes called Air Force One. Yes, we know that.
Air Force One. Nice.
Public image. It doesn't really say. I don't know. I like Craig Federighi, though. Anyway, if that wasn't him playing, if he wasn't really playing the guitar, they did a pretty good, because his hands were, it looked like he was doing the right things. He wasn't just doing Guitar Hero.
Was it like, do you think he was really using that iPad like Thor throwing Mjolnir and having it come back to him as well?
Or more, I guess, don't believe
more
that.
Like Captain America's shield, actually. That's the catch was a little more.
I don't believe that.
Oh, I thought that was real.
I love this. There's an article from 2016 in The Ringer called Apple's Craig Federighi is Perfect. And the snippet that shows on DuckDuckGo is he went to UC Berkeley, and I'm 95% sure he was stoned a lot there. He's a fan of the awesome Canadian rock trio Rush, which is dorky, but in a hot dad way. That's hilarious.
What? Rush is dorky? Excuse me? Who wrote this?
No, the fact that he loves Rush is dorky, but in a hot dad way.
I love Rush, and I'm hot, but I'm not a dad. What the?
Anyway, I'll put a link to this article. That's hilarious. Apple's Craig Federighi is perfect. So what else? What else do we want to talk about? What do you think about gaming? Do you think the fact that they have a metal conversion
Kojima-san
kit is going to make... Kojima-san! Do you think they're actually going to... Do you think any game makers are going to go, oh my God, Apple made it so easy for me to convert my games to metal now. Now I'm going to do it. Do you think so?
Haven't they been saying stuff like this, like, since the iMac?
No, this is a new thing that's made to convert your games to using metal specifically easier.
Okay, I was not paying any attention to that. I'm not a gamer anymore. I play games every now and then. I play Baldur's Gate, which was re-released in 2014 and originally released in like 2001.
Did you say Baldur? Dur with a D or Baller?
Dur, as in the god of the Norse, god of whatever he was, who was killed by mistletoe.
You and your Norse gods.
I play that game, and again, that's something that was released like 20 years ago and then re-released and remastered in like 2014 or something. That's the kind of game I play. So I don't need metal or whatever.
You know what's really bad about my beer? It's gone. It's all gone.
That's not a bad thing. That means it was a good thing. So before we rush out to get another beer, I'm going to follow up with a brew here. I have a spare. My standby is a cup of Wegmans English Breakfast Black Tea.
Well, I am drinking a coffee that I've drunk on the show before, but right now I couldn't tell you what it was without going to look. So I'm going to go search on friendswithbrews.com because I hear there's a wonderful search engine there. I'm going to search for coffee. I think it's the SO blend. Yes, I'm drinking the Esso blend. Kova Coffee Roasters Esso blend. I've drunk it before on this podcast. It's Honeycrisp apple, dark caramel, and chocolate covered fruits, Peter. It's a thing of beauty.
Okay.
I love their coffees. And I love the website, by the way, with the search feature.
Oh, wow. It's amazing. So
I wonder who put that on there.
Some
genius.
Yeah.
Most likely.
Yeah. Yeah.
It must be Craig Federighi. I hear he's perfect. So I did see some people complaining that Death Stranding has been out for a while, blah, blah, blah. But Kojima did say that they're going to bring other games to it as well.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. Well, I think that makes sense. You know, if you're a gamer, that's great. You know, I know a lot of people have a Mac and would like to play PC games and or Xbox games or whatnot.
I personally don't care. Yeah, I personally don't care.
So, you know, great. Good for them.
The only game I want to play, I want them to bring the Bedrock edition of Minecraft to the Mac so that my daughter and I can play it, and I can play it on my Mac, and she can play it on her iPad Pro, but I can't. The only version of Minecraft that'll run on the Mac is Java edition, and I don't want that, and it's also not compatible with the Bedrock version in terms of playing together. Like, we can't jump into the same world and all that. That's all I care about. I don't care about games. I don't want to sit around playing games.
I'm with you. So, all right. iOS. All right. Mac OS. Oh, widgets. You know, I do want to have widgets, though. Like, we touched on those. I can definitely see myself, you know, throwing some widgets. I remember back when Mac OS had widgets. They were on their own home separate page.
Oh, yeah. They weren't called widgets, though. What were those things called? What was that view called?
I don't know, but they were definitely widgets. They may not have been called widgets, but they were widgets.
They were, yeah. I don't remember what that view was called, but eventually they got rid of it.
But it's gone now. But it's coming back. It's coming back to our desktop, so that's cool. So I'm happy about that.
Let us talk about WatchOS.
That's probably the coolest thing right there.
For us, yeah.
Yeah. Having the ability to scroll up on the home screen, you know, and see your widgets there. That's cool. Start a timer and immediately scroll up and see it right there. Nice. That means when I teach yoga classes, I don't have to use a dedicated screen that has all of my timers as complications. So I like that.
And it means that instead of using the generally useless Siri watch face, now you'll use a smart stack if you want. And what I don't know, what they didn't show, is can you build your own stacks? Is it like the iPhone where, okay, you can get a smart stack, but you can also build your own stacks with widgets that never go away? They didn't address that, so maybe not.
It uses machine learning. Back on that note, wait, sorry, back up, back to iOS 17, back to iOS, and we missed something. Improvements to dictation and autocorrect and Siri?
I was going to mention that and say, we'll see how that goes, but...
We'll believe it when we see it. But, I mean, the fact that Craig said, sometimes you just want to type a ducking word. Okay, that was great.
But you know what, though? They're using a large language model now, a specifically tuned large language model for the auto-correction, which I think is not what they were doing before. So there's actually some hope for it.
Right.
Because although I may have to correct ChatGPT when it tells me that to disable a site in Nginx, I need to go into the site's available directory instead of the site's enabled directory and remove a link... And I have to tell it, it's not the site's available directory you want, it's the site's enabled directory. That kind of stuff it might get confused about, but it's pretty freaking good at language.
Yeah, yeah.
It can very eloquently express things that are incorrect to me.
I'm impressed that it got that close. Usually, I think it doesn't get, like, you know, this instead of that. Usually, it just makes up something else. It would be, like, the enabled sites directory or, you know, something else. Or, you know, like, sites, active sites directory, you know, something like that.
Somewhere along the line, it read about, it saw the word Nginx and it saw the word sites available and it thought that, whatever, I don't know how they train those things. Yeah.
Yeah, it must be it. Done.
Anyway, WatchOS does look good. Yeah, I like the redesign to the widgets. I like the redesign to some of the apps.
Yep.
Vic pointed out to me, he was like, hey, did you see the cycling stuff? And I'm like, yeah, that's great, but I don't bike outdoors anymore.
Yeah, none of the fitness stuff. I was like, okay, whatever. I mean, every now and then I still cycle and I, you know, I'll mountain bike from time to time, but none of that had me like up in arms or.
See, in the past, whatever. I would have liked the fact that now it could connect to and read your Bluetooth accessories like your speed and cadence sensors, but I don't even have an outdoor bike at the moment.
Mm.
So, you know, it's not that I am not glad that they did that. I am glad. It's just I'm never going to use those things. And I'm wondering how it's generating its estimates for functional threshold power, because there are very expensive power meters that you can buy that go into your pedals on road bikes that are okay. specifically for calculating how much wattage you're generating, your body, how much power you're outputting. And they cost a lot of money, so I'm curious as to how accurate this thing really is. But it's interesting. Anyway, you said something about waypoints. What's so great about cellular waypoints?
Waypoints, like telling you the last time when you're out in the backcountry, how the watch will automatically mark a place like this was the last place you had cell signal.
Oh,
so if you get lost and you need to make a phone call, it'll, you know, get you back there, or even like here, you can make a GPS call from here. So that was pretty cool.
I broke my leg. All I have to do is get up and hike 20 miles back to that place where I last had cellular connection. Yes! Saved.
Perfect. That reminds me, I have still not yet actually tried the SOS feature or the alarm on the Ultra.
Peter,
the two things, like the
Peter,
reasons that I bought these things, I don't
Peter,
even know if they
it's
work
it's time
yet.
For you to find out how much the Massachusetts Emergency Services actually cares about you.
I'll just call 911, you know, or
see if anyone shows up.
Oh brother. Yes. SOS yourself. Jeez.
If people are walking by you on the path going, why are you staring at the sky? I'm waiting for a helicopter and nobody's coming.
No one's coming. No one loves me.
No one cares.
Oh, boy.
Damn it. Oh, my God. Okay, so let's talk about the headset in the room. Let's talk about the headset in the room.
Yeah. Okay. As is often the case, you know, the Steve Jobs reality distortion effect still persists. And as I was watching that demonstration, I was like, yeah, I could see myself with one of those. But right now, I don't want to spend $3,000 on something, or $3,500, as the case may be.
No. And I think that this is not an original idea. A lot of people have already said this. This is step one in a long series of steps, just like the original Mac was a boxy little underpowered, undermemoried, overpriced step towards a very useful Macintosh computer. This is a first step towards a future where you can see things in your eyes, augmented over, you know, your reality that you can still see, and being able to move your hands and do things to control them. That future will get here, but this is step one. And it's not palatable for a lot of people, both because of price and because of clunkiness. It's a gigantic... This looks like a gaming headset.
Yes. That said, out of all the VR headsets I have seen, this is the most stylish.
Oh, yeah. It is not only the most stylish, it definitely has the best hardware. And they definitely went the extra mile on everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why I was not surprised when they said $34.99. I was actually thinking this could cost close to $5,000 at one point.
Right.
They went out of their way to point out all these potential use cases, like this will be great for work, this will be great for entertainment, this will be great for games, this will be great for calls, this will be great for all these things. One thing they didn't talk about was when you make a FaceTime call, what do the other people see?
I thought they did talk about that. I thought they said that, yeah, they like it renders your avatar of some sort.
That's a bad experience for the other person.
I mean, not if they've done a really good job and they've nailed it. If what I'm thinking is what they're going to be doing, though, you know, they're essentially basically deep faking you.
Vision Pro FaceTime call. Apple's Vision Pro headset will turn you into a digital avatar when FaceTiming. You're absolutely right. This is from The Verge.
There you go. See, I may not read your text messages, but I get video.
Oh, my God. It looks kind of creepy, though.
It's an AI-generated avatar of you.
Oh, I see. You point the thing at yourself, let it generate the avatar, and then from then on it uses that.
It deepfakes you. So, as you know, I had to jump to a call right at the very end, so I literally missed the last minute of the presentation where they announced the price.
The price. Yeah, Vic missed it too.
When is it available? Is it available next week like everything else?
I don't know. To be honest, I missed that part of it too, because so many people were messaging me that I'm a monotasker now. I can't do too many things at once anymore.
Huh. So like if you get messages and stuff, and you know, if you get more than one message at a time, you might miss one?
If I'm reading a message, no, because I know that there's more than one and I scroll up. That's a lot different than trying to listen to something and reading at the same time. No, I don't miss messages.
Anyway, I think it looks cool. I think it looks, I am definitely more interested in it now. I do not think I will be buying version one of this product, just like any Apple.
It says Vision Pro will be available sometime next year. Yeah, I can't justify. This is money that if I had, it would be going straight into my daughter's college fund. It would not be going to Apple for a headset. And someone on Mastodon said, hey, did it bother anyone else? Am I the only one that was bothered by the guy playing with his child while staring through this thing at them? And I'm like, no, that really bugged the hell out of me too.
Hmm.
For wearing around the house and interacting with other humans, this thing has to, this is where Apple has to start now. I totally get why they released this now. But it's not going to be socially acceptable until it gets to the end point of it looks like a pair of glasses that you're wearing.
You say that now, but in 2007, it was not socially acceptable to be having a conversation while doing this all the time. And dear listener, you can't see me. I'm staring at my phone and not even looking at Scott while I talk to him. And people do this all the time.
But Peter, human beings have this instinctive thing about other human faces.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if you're, when you're staring at your phone, you still have a normal human face. But when you cover up part of your face, it removes the idea that you're really interacting from me.
Didn't you used to go snowboarding?
Yeah, but that's...
You ever talk to people while you were wearing your goggles?
And that's totally expected because society expects it. But if you're just standing in your kitchen and the entire top of the head is covered...
It will change.
I know, but it still bugged the hell out of me.
I'm not saying it's right, and I'm not saying it doesn't. It's not going to bug me when it happens, but it will change. People will just adapt, and we will become more disconnected and more rude and less engaged.
But what I'm saying is, to me, interacting with your own flesh and blood child, a small human being who's learning from everything that you're doing in front of them, that to me is worse than looking at your phone. I mean, looking at the phone and clearly not paying attention to the child, bad enough. But having your eyes covered?
I think it's the exact same thing. I think it's the exact same thing, because if you're interacting with your child and look at your phone, you're teaching your child that it's okay to not be engaging with the person you're talking to.
Because your phone goes down from time to time. This thing stays on your face. It doesn't go away. So 100% of the time, you're saying, I'm not interacting with you. Don't expect a hell of a lot from me. And by the way, if it seems like I'm interacting with you, maybe I am, but maybe I'm also looking at something else. This is worse than the phone because they can never see your eyes move away from it to them, which with the phone, even the most inattentive parent will occasionally glance up and pretend to listen to the child.
But I thought when you got close, when someone else got close to you, your eyes were visible to them.
It does, but it's still, when they were showing that guy interacting with the child, you couldn't see it until they did the close-up of the guy. It still just looked like he was being an asshole in his own home, not paying attention to his family. That's literally what it looked like. I'm just saying that it is something right, that I don't think Apple can hand wave away.
I would not have thought 20 years ago if you told me that anybody, you know, it's going to be totally cool for people to be staring at their phone while they're supposed to be having a conversation with you, that that would be okay. But somehow it is.
But is that really okay? Is that
no,
really something we want to make even worse?
I remember, like, I was teaching a yoga class a couple of years ago, and I walked into the studio, and I had my phone, and I, before I said anything else to anybody, I said to the students there, I said, first off, I just want you to know, I forgot my printed lesson plan, so I'm calling it up here, and I will be referring to my notes on my phone tonight. And one of the students looked up and said, is it bad that I didn't even think anything of you looking at your phone? And I was like, yeah, maybe.
Did you say, get out? You threw them out. Get out. Get away from me.
So watchOS widgets, that looks cool. Scrolling up to find your stuff, that looks cool. Safety features, the new safety features, check-in feature. I'm on my way home. I should be home by around 11.
Yeah, and I like the fact that if you are obviously detained, it gives you an opportunity to say, hey, add more time to this so they don't panic.
Right. Oh, he's in traffic. Okay, fine. Now, what if you're getting kidnapped and, you know, the kidnapper just pulls off to the side of the road?
Well, then it doesn't, then you don't update it. And then you, also the people on the other end get a notification of saying, hey, this guy's not getting where they said they were going to.
But they can tell that you're not stuck in traffic. That's right. Okay, so yeah.
Yeah.
But what if you get kidnapped and they wisely detain you in an area with a lot of traffic.
Well, yeah, but if the traffic is going loop-de-loop around the fountain in Main Square and obviously not heading towards your home, it's still going to be obvious to them that something's wrong.
Perfect.
Unless the kidnapper wants to go to your house for some reason. Hey, let's take you home. You bastard, I'm taking you home. This will show you. You know, they'll know. But anyway, going back to the headset, I just want to say, even though this is not a product for me, and even though I think this is not a product for most people for a long time, I think there will be many iterations before many people want to buy this product. It really does look like Apple did it right. It really does look like this is better than what's already there. Mm-hmm. It's certainly better hardware. But it looks like if the software works the way they showed, with the hand gestures, with the movements, with the being able to focus on different things and rearrange your desktop and all that stuff, it does look really nice. It does look like this is at least done proper. Will it succeed or not? I don't know. Eventually, probably yes. Eventually in the future, we're going to wear glasses and we're going to see AR stuff. That's just, we know that's going to happen.
Yeah, it'll happen.
Is it going to be Apple that's going to succeed? Maybe, maybe not. But this is a very good first step.
I like the fact that they support Zeiss corrective lenses as add-ons. So you can just add those in.
Yeah. How much do those cost? Anytime you see the word Zeiss, you can add $300 to the price.
I was going to say, those are cheap. Yeah. I mean, that's going to just add just a pittance on top of your existing.
Can't it just say LensCrafter? I mean, come on, guys. Seriously.
LensCrafter is not bad. Give me Warby Parker, would you? I'd much rather that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a first good step. I think this is where they had to start. I do understand if the rumors are true that some people within Apple felt like releasing this was a mistake. I get that sentiment because it is expensive and it's not a universal appeal device. But I also understand the fact that for this technology, if Apple is afraid that eventually something like this is going to eat the phone, they have to be one of the companies on the path towards this, or else they're going to get eaten. It's just like the original Mac. Even though Steve Jobs' vision of what computing would probably be like for most people is probably more similar to the iPad, he certainly couldn't start there.
I don't know that the objection being not universally appealing to people. I mean, I know plenty of people who don't want an Apple Watch and plenty of people who don't want an iPad.
Those are things that still, even those are things that could universally appeal to way more people than this can. How many people are going to pay $3,500 for something you strap onto your face and they're only actually going to feel good about wearing when they're at home by themselves? They're not going to do this at work, not when other people are around. They're not going to do this on an airplane. I don't care what Apple says. First of all, just carrying the thing around is a pain in the ass. It just takes
up... COVID changed a lot, though. A lot of people spend a lot more time at home than they used to.
True.
I'll check back again maybe at version 3.
For me, I think it'll be more like 5, maybe 10.
Well, let's find out. We'll find out. On that note, I think we should wrap things up.
Why? Why do you have a big red button in your pocket?
Because I haven't eaten dinner yet, and I'm hungry, and I've had beer.
Oh.
I have the memo.
I get the message.
All right. I'll be sure to send you another copy of the memo. And dear listener, if you want to find us, you already found us. Links are in the show notes.
Right.
Links are everywhere. Wherever you found this podcast, that's where you found it. That's it.
Friendswithbrews.com. Use the search feature.
Yeah, it's use the search feature. Find the beers that we drank about. Don't drink the ones that we said you needed to be desperate for.
If they say thumbs down and they say desperate, don't do them.
Ugh, yuck. I think we should push the big red button.